Hi, everyone. This is Sean Wickersham, and thank you for listening to Leaders Direct, the official podcast of the Leaders Group. Today, we're recording our first episode of what we hope will be a long-running podcast. We plan to cover a wide range of topics from important company announcements, compliance notices, industry news, profiles of some of our most successful advisors and registered reps, as well as some conversations with our marketing partners. Emails work well, but when you're on the move, whether you're commuting to the office or running on a treadmill, a podcast is a great way to stay up to date. We'd be honored if you'd add us into your normal routine. This last week, we just celebrated crossing an important milestone here of 1,000 people registered with the Leaders Group. To celebrate, I'm joined today by our founder and CEO, Dave Wickersham, who's going to talk a little bit about our journey to 1,000. Thank you for joining me.
Certainly. Thank you.
So what was going through your mind 26 years ago when you founded the Leaders Group?
Well, when we founded the Leaders Group, obviously we didn't have any idea that it was going to become what it is today. Going back to that time, we started the Leaders Group to be a broker-dealer specifically for brokerage general agents to sell variable life insurance through other firms and registered reps. And at that time, we were working primarily with a relatively small group, the RA Lee Group, that has gone away and been replaced by other organizations over the years. But we didn't have any idea that we were going to become a large firm. We didn't have any particular desire at that point to become a large firm. We wanted to get into this niche and be able to do a good job for the people affiliated with us. So we went through time, that changed, but that was where we were 26 years ago.
Great. And so, you know, expand a little bit then on what, you know, kind of the history of the company from then on and how it's taken us to get to this point.
Certainly. Going back in time to 1997 as we got started, as I said, the goal was to be able to help brokerage general agents distribute variable life insurance. But as we move forward, the GAs that we worked with knew retail registered reps that needed to have a broker-dealer to be affiliated with. We created a lot of different ways of doing business with other firms, but as some of the advisors and registered reps that were out there were looking for a home, we had all of the facilities and skills to be able to do that. So we started becoming a retail broker-dealer also. Initially, for the first few years of the Leaders Group, we were primarily what I would refer to as a back office firm, a back office broker-dealer. We provided compliance and we provided commissions. We didn't provide a whole lot of other stuff. We had a lot of knowledge, but we didn't give any software. We didn't give any training. We didn't really give any marketing. We just tried to bring people together with insurance companies, with product providers, and then providing that relationship for general agents and the agents and affiliated reps that were registered with us and also registered with those general agents.
Great. And you've kind of touched on it here a little bit, but what would you say are some of the core strengths of the Leaders Group?
Well, probably the biggest core strength is that we really are, even though we've grown in size and the number of people affiliated with us, our biggest core strength is that we provide personalized service. One of my goals has always been to be able to make sure that we didn't become just a place where you're a number. We wanted to make sure that we know who our reps are and that they know who we are, and that we provide service that is pointed to help them do more business. With that, we intentionally designed our compliance department to be different than most broker-dealers through the time that we have been in business, in that usually most registered reps look at the compliance firm as being the department of no, and we wanted our compliance team to be more of a department of let's figure out how instead of not how. You can't do it. We want to figure out how you can do it. So that's become one of our big strengths. We've got a lot of experience. We've also trained most of our people internally. We've hired a lot of people that didn't have any experience or a very small amount of experience in the broker-dealer business, in the securities business. And so our team has been trained to function within our strengths instead of coming in and bringing the strengths of other firms, but also bringing the weaknesses and the dirty laundry that goes along with some of the things that they may have done at other firms.
Great. And, you know, one of the pieces we have here, we have the Leaders Group, obviously. We also have our sister firm, TLG Advisors. We know they're separate entities. Can you talk, one, kind of a little bit about the thought process there and also a little bit on the history of TLG Advisors?
Yes. When we started TLG Advisors, the rules were different. We were functioning under at that time, what was referred to as the Merrill Lynch rule, which basically said that a broker-dealer could function as a dual-registered firm, which is common today, but there were restrictions, and we weren't sure what the direction was going to be, so we decided to have a separate registered investment advisor. That gave us also the ability to work through different kinds of business in different areas than the broker-dealer and give the ability to focus on the advisory business. And so over time, a number of our retail advisors have been registered with TLG Advisors, and we've had some programs to help some of the folks that didn't have a Series 65 or 66 get that registration so they'd be able to work in that world. And of course, over the last 40 years since I've been in the business, the movement has been from commission-based business to fee-based business, and that's part of the reason that we need to have that. We want to be able to provide that service to our customers and to our reps so that they can provide the services they need to their customers.
Great. And what would you say are some of the future growth areas for the company, whether on the BD side, the RIA side, or anywhere else?
Well, for anybody that's been with us for any length of time, they know that we've continued to change and continued to morph from where we were in the past to where we are now. I would expect that we're going to continue to grow the retail side of our firm more than the wholesale side. And when I talk about wholesale, that's our brokerage general agents and IMOs that are distributing variable life insurance and variable annuity and registered index annuity products. Biggest reason for that is we already have a relationship with most of the brokerage general agents that are out there that sell variable life. Unless they already own their own broker dealer, most of those folks are affiliated with us now. And so we dominate that market. On the retail side, there's a lot of opportunity, and I think we're going to continue to grow that side of the business because there are a lot of folks that have left other firms along the way and that are looking to find the niche that fits them best. And we've tried to create a firm that fits a specific advisor. We really don't fit for what we used to refer to as stock jockeys, the folks that do a lot of trading. We're not a firm for those kinds of folks. We can accommodate that, but it's not really a business that is our forte, and it only makes up a small portion of what we do. But for those people that work particularly in the life insurance and annuity marketplace, the mutual fund and retirement plan marketplace, that's where we've been a good fit. And going forward, we're going to continue to develop in that area. I also expect we're going to see a lot of changes over the next few years, and we've always been at the forefront of a lot of the changes going on in the industry, and I expect we'll be doing that too.
Great. There's been a lot of activity, I guess we'll say, in the market over the past couple of months. What are your thoughts going forward? Where do you think it's going to go?
It's an interesting time we live in, and it's becoming more and more interesting. 3 months ago, when we first started seeing what's going on now, as the coronavirus came into being in the world, in the United States, we saw the market sell off. The biggest sell-off in the shortest period of time we'd ever seen. At the same time, once it stopped, it started to recover, and it recovered more quickly than we expected. But then the lockdown of safe at home and safer at home and so on, as we've gone through over the last few months, as everybody started being out of their offices and out of their jobs, the economy looked like it was going to take much longer to recover than we initially thought. Initially, we thought that it was going to be what we'd refer to as a V-shaped recovery curve, and then it became more looking like it was going to be U-shaped, and then it got to the point where it looked like it might actually be the more like a Nike swoosh kind of a curve. And yet, as we look at things today, we just have gotten recently, we've gotten unemployment numbers that were a big surprise. We had retail sales that were probably even more of a surprise, record number of retail sales number. And on top of that, the confidence numbers, the business confidence, CEO confidence, as well as consumer confidence numbers have been better than we expected, with people unemployed, locked up at home, and so many businesses that look like they may be going out of business, we still have seen a surprising resilience to our economy. And looking at that, it's added a whole lot of volatility to the markets because along with the coronavirus, we had the tragic events that led to our recent protests and riots and looting and all those things that also had impacts on the market. Some of the impacts on all these things have been positive. Some of them have been negative. However, they've been, because it's all been new, it's things that have not happened in the past, it has made it a little more difficult to have a clear picture of what's going to happen in the future. My opinion is, and of course, nobody has a real crystal ball, and anybody that tells you they know where the market is going to go is somebody you probably should run away from. But I do have opinions, and anybody that knows me know I have a lot of opinions. And I do have an opinion that I do expect to see the market do better through the summer than I originally planned. I expected that this was going to be a bad summer for the markets, and it looks like it probably will be much better than normal, actually, because the economic numbers are getting better, and people are coming back to work, and employment is improving more quickly than we expected employment to recover. That leads me to believe that we're going to see market recovery through the summer. As we get into the fall, we're going to find out whether the coronavirus acts like the flu or it acts like something that is unknown. And at this point, we don't know what that's going to be. But if it acts like the flu, we're going to see a recurrence of cases starting to happen in the fall as we start heading into the shorter days and the colder days and nights. That typically leads to additional outbreaks, and I would expect that we could see more additional outbreaks and the second spike that everybody has been talking about. If we get into that, then that pushes out the recovery of the markets a little bit further. We don't expect to see, and I certainly don't expect to see another lockdown where the government steps in and says that people need to not go to work anymore, but I do expect that the government will continue to get involved from a standpoint of adding additional financial incentives. We've seen a lot of money that's being thrown at the U.S. economy, and I expect to continue to see that happen. That all is going to come around on the other side, and I expect will improve the economy, and then in turn, that's going to continue to drive the markets. We will come up with some kind of I expect we'll see a vaccine, but if we don't see a vaccine, we will have treatments that will make the worst of the virus in the past. When that happens, the economy, I expect to see recover a lot and get back where we were at the beginning of this year, beginning of 2020. And going forward, I expect that we will get back to a strong economy. The market's going to lead us there. So I expect that during 2021, we will see new highs in all of the indexes, and I expect that we will see a continued bull market trend because we did have the sell-offs we've seen that exhausted some of the bear market. So over the next 2 years, I expect to see the bull market continue. I expect that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to throw money at the economy, to keep the economy strong, and that probably will continue to lead the economy higher, which leads the market higher. There's no question that somewhere down the road in the next 5 years, we are going to have another bear market. I expect it will be longer than the one we had this year, but I expect we will see another bear market. The caveat that I throw out there is that this is an election year, and I expect that if we have a change in party in the White House, in the Senate, in the Congress, any of those places, I would expect that that could have some impact on the markets. I know it will have some impact regardless of who wins in any of those places, but on a longer term basis, if we move from being where we've been Republican in the Senate and the White House to being all Republican, if the Republicans take over the House also, that's going to have some impact. Initially, I think that that would be positive for the markets. I don't think long-term that that's positive for the markets. At the same time, it could go the other direction, and we could see the Democrats have take control of any or all, in addition to the House where they have control now. And I think that the market would not be looking favorably on that. And so I would expect we would see a sell-off sooner than later if that happens.
Great. Well, it's definitely, like you said, interesting times that we're in here. And I know we're all waiting anxiously to see where we go from here. But, you know, is there anything else, any kind of final thoughts that you have here? Anything else you'd like to add?
No, but I would say for the people that are listening to this, I assume most of you are affiliated with the Leaders Group already. And I want to thank all of you, because we never could have gotten where we are today if it wasn't for all of you. If you had not been affiliated with us, we would not have been able to see the growth that you brought to us. Also want to thank our staff that has helped in so many ways in us getting here and providing the services that you all need to be able to do the things that you do. And we're looking forward to a lot of additional good times in the future. We're looking forward to seeing additional growth, as well as seeing additional opportunities that we can bring to bear for you as a financial professional in being able to help you improve your business and be able to come along with additional ways for you to be able to build a succession plan in the future and some of those things that we've not really spent any time on in the past.
Great. Well, thank you for taking the time here today. And I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.